Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Free Talk Live.
Hey, welcome to Free Talk Live. The phones are open. If you want to join us, you can do that. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up, the unvaccinated only lockdown happening in the Northern Territories of Australia. And also, what's been going on with a tennis player that has been imprisoned in a hotel in Australia? I don't know if you guys have heard about that story, but it's pretty crazy.
Does sound crazy.
It's just odd because he's fighting for his right to not get sent out of Australia. If they were doing that to me, I'd be like, okay, next flight out.
Yeah.
I'll just see myself out.
They're keeping him in a hotel that has been known for maggot-infested food because it is not a real hotel. It's a detention center that is like in the building of a... It's like basically a hotel that's been converted into a government operation, as I understand it. So we can talk about how ugly that situation is. And, of course, your calls and thoughts are welcome. But we're actually going to start out tonight because normally if more than one host on Free Talk Live, we all independently do our own show prep and, you know, looking into what we want to talk about. If we usually agree, if, like, we bring in the same story, it's almost a guarantee we got to talk about that. So, Chris, you and I had the same news about Firefox. Now, normally you don't, you know, Firefox doesn't make it into the news. It's just a browser, right? Like, it's one of the world's most popular browsers. It's
probably doesn't hit mainstream news.
No, it tends not to, but yeah, maybe in like the tech world, it'll hit the news here and there. But this one is definitely like it's cutting into some different areas because this one's hitting the Bitcoin news because the Firefox browser, which again, just a browser, right? Like it's an open source browser that's been around for a long time. And recently, in the last year or two, it seems to have gotten really political. Have you noticed that?
Oh, it's not just been the last year or two, I don't think.
That's when it came across my radar that they were...
Political in what way?
Yeah, it's...
Like leftist.
You know, it's actually interesting because there's been a conflict between the left and the... I want to say the right, but it's... It's probably like the left versus everybody else. And over the years, and actually one of the founders, I think it was, actually...
of Firefox?
Yeah, was actually like kicked out of, or one of the lead developers was kicked out of like the Mozilla over, I think it was his support for like some anti-gay bill or something in California.
Oh, wow.
Or something like that. And... yeah, and it was pretty crazy. Like,
they don't care how good of a programmer he is; his opinions
right. And it was kind of crazy too, because it was like somebody had to dig into the fact that he made a donation to some, you know, foundation or whatever.
People were checking on him.
Right. So it wasn't even like he was causing problems or anything, like with bringing his politics into the workplace or anything like that.
Threaten another
programmer. No. It was literally just actually other people within Mozilla causing problems.
A witch hunt.
Yeah, a witch hunt, exactly, is what it was. And this is kind of, I think, similar to that same story in that respect. It might not be a witch hunt specifically, but it's the same sort of political nonsense that has kind of, it seems to be like in Silicon Valley in particular, but so.
This one's maybe even dumber. I mean, because you could understand if there were issues between staff members that you don't want them fighting or whatever. You know, you could understand. I mean, I don't agree with what they did to that guy.
Right.
You know,
me either.
Just now hearing about it. But now they're literally going to cut off funding from themselves. it's pretty stupid to cut off an old school programmer that's been with you for years. That's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
And it's also dumb to say, no, we're not going to take money from our donors.
The sad thing about Mozilla is that they actually have, despite all of the problems and things that they've done over the years, you know, from both a technological standpoint and a political standpoint, it's still one of the best browsers advertisers out there from varying angles when you start, you know, start looking at it. Like, you know, it's not, it is more privacy friendly, even though they're doing some things that are not as good as they could be by comparison to, say, Chrome.
I was going to say, do you have a favorite browser? I know
I look closely
at these things.
I still prefer Firefox over, you know.
Even with all the drama.
Yeah. And it's just because it's like, it's still like the least bad.
What about Chromium, the browser where they strip out all the Google from Chrome? Right?
Yeah, so I use Chromium a little bit too, actually.
They basically took the Google Chrome code and they took out like the worst parts.
Yeah,
of it,
and it's actually interesting because let's see, I'm trying to think. No. I'm thinking of Safari. But it's Chromium is okay. It's just it's not as It's still it's a Google product, right? Like, it's Google.
Well, they don't make Chromium, right? Like, it's
they don't.
They create
fork,
Chrome.
It's a fork of Chrome, right. But without the proprietary components, more or less. But they still, there's going to be things that are inherited in Chromium that are still not necessarily to our preferences as users.
I see.
And so there
stuff they just can't get rid of. You mean?
I mean, there's only so many people who work on it, right? Mm-hmm. Develop it and so forth. And so they can strip out things and here and there, but it's not quite the same thing as developing something, right? Like, Chromium is, effectively Chrome, minus a few components.
Is that also your critique of the Brave browser because it was based on Chrome and then they put in, like, privacy protections?
Oh, that's the guy who got kicked out of Mozilla, actually.
Oh, really?
I actually originally thought that he forked Firefox, and I found out later that he forked Chromium and made the browser that he did. Brave.
I think, if I recall correctly, Brave builds in AdBlock. It builds the tracker.
Right.
Protection.
I'm not a huge Brave fan. I do, however, like some of the things that Brave has like attempted to do and the route it's kind of gone.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some crypto things going on. Like, it's got built in some sort of cryptocurrency.
Yeah, they've got a token.
Yeah,
they pay people to run websites.
Well, it's not that was interesting, and maybe I'm just mistaken about this too. But isn't there an actual like cryptocurrency wallet built into the browser?
I don't know about that. I've never heard that they've gone that far.
A lot of people get confused because Crypto.com's logo looks just like the Brave browser.
Well, actually, Crypto.com is an advertiser with Brave. So what happens with Brave is you open up the browser and they show you an advertisement.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
So it's a lot of times it's from Crypto.
So, yeah, and there's some other things. Like, I think they integrated a torrent streaming client. Mm. So, like, you can watch torrents, videos that are
interesting
in torrents, I guess, basically, through the browser, which is kind of cool.
Okay.
Whereas other browsers, you'd actually have to install a plugin. So I thought that was kind of cool.
You don't hate any of these other competitors to Google. I mean, it sounds like you're open to them, the Chromium, the Brave. But you prefer Firefox when
My preference is to take Firefox, install it, and then make some changes to the configuration.
I see.
To disable a few things that are not in the user's interest. I still think that the fundamental core component of Firefox is the best, and I'm not saying it's like the fastest necessarily or anything like that. I just mean from privacy perspective and a security perspective, it's had a lot of time to have bugs fixed. Things like Tor browser are based on Firefox.
That's true, yeah.
And so there's definitely some things in Firefox that you're not going to just in Firefox that you're not just going to magically have in other browsers at the core fundamentally. Mm-hmm. So, even though there might be bugs in Firefox, still and issues, it's still, I think fundamentally it's still better than.
But you've got, let's just say your Spidey sense has been raised when it comes to Firefox because of all this politicizing, right? Like, you got to be watching them carefully because you never know what they're going to put.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I would want to keep a closer eye on as a user because they've demonstrated that they can't be trusted, and the problem is that you can't trust these other browsers either. So mm-hmm. it's just like who do you trust the most? And I feel like it's still Firefox, but it's still like yeah. There's a lot of people who won't use Firefox for political reasons, not like more like technical reasons than like what we normally think of as political reasons. But
definitely getting political when it comes to the funding that they're willing to accept.
Right.
I think the worst part about this is it's not even made in really good faith, because if you just do a little bit of research, you'll see that their reasoning is flawed.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes, that's true. We'll get into it here. Why did they announced they were going to begin accepting cryptocurrency, or I guess they haven't for years, but they announced it recently and got a bunch of pushback, I guess, because then less than a week later they said, no, never mind, we're coming up, we'll explain.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
live phones open if you want to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're talking about a disappointing decision from the developers of Mozilla Firefox, one of the world's most popular internet browsers. And they're saying basically that they're going to stop taking cryptocurrency after years of accepting it. And after just a few days after making an announcement that they are accepting cryptocurrency. So on December 31st, on their social media, on Twitter, at Mozilla, they say this, quote, "Dabble in Dogecoin, hodling some Bitcoin and Ethereum. We're using BitPay to accept donations in cryptocurrency." And then they put the link to their BitPay, where you could then donate in, I imagine, a handful of different cryptocurrencies. And then within exactly 1 week later, they took it all back. And we'll tell you more about it coming up here. Hold that thought, Chris, because I know you got more to say about this. The number is 603-283-6160. But speaking of Bitcoin, if you want to learn about cryptocurrency, because smart companies are accepting cryptocurrency, because they understand that these decentralized forms of internet money basically are the future. These things are not going away. I mean, not all of them are going to survive, but Bitcoin was first, and it's probably going to stick around for a very, very long time. So, you know, if you want to be with it, if you want to be on the cutting edge of things, then you need to start learning about crypto. Go to Bitcoin.com, click Get Started at the top of the page. They will teach you about Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash there. You get some of the basics about cryptocurrency by clicking Get Started at the top of the page at Bitcoin.com. Now, if you're not brand new and you want to get the latest news headlines, they've got those two every day updated over at news.bitcoin.com from across the world of cryptocurrency at news.bitcoin.com. But yet Mozilla is walking away from this multi-trillion dollar market and saying, no, even though our supporters are by and large technically adept people who would likely have cryptocurrency, we are going to just say no and not accept any more crypto donations, according to the story here that I have from Android Police.
We only want donations in currency that goes down in value.
Right. Yeah. Because if you cut out cryptocurrency, all you have left is government money. Because I suspect you can't donate gold to them very easily. So they say here at AndroidPolice.com, Mozilla, on the verge of the new year, broke loose all hell when it reminded people with a playful tweet that it was accepting cryptocurrency donations, with Mozilla founder Jamie Zawinski and many others brutally criticizing the tweet's memeified dabble in Dogecoin and huddling some Bitcoin language. As such, the company has decided to review its practice and is suspending crypto coin donations for the time being. In a series of tweets, Mozilla said that it still thinks that, quote, decentralized web technology continues to be an important area for us to explore, but a lot has changed since we started accepting crypto donations, unquote. The discussion following last week's tweet, quote, led to an important discussion about cryptocurrency's environmental impact.
And the problem with this is that it doesn't have the environmental impact that the naysayers will want you to believe. When they're talking about, like, how much energy it takes to, like, mine a Bitcoin, it gets mined and then it's done, right? It doesn't take, it's not per transaction, and they're basically associating, I think it's like,
well,
like, every transaction they're associating with the cost of mining that initial Bitcoin.
Well, the mining goes on, right? Like, you know, when they've mined Bitcoin, the Bitcoins are available in the network, but
right.
If the mining doesn't continue, the network is dead.
That's
you have to have
true.
Mining for the transactions to come through. However, what you really want to focus on, in my opinion, about this question of the environmental impact, because it keeps getting brought up by the Bitcoin haters, by the big bankers,
yeah.
These people. Go ahead, pull up the numbers, look at the banking industry, and look and see how much power the banking industry sucks down every single year.
Yeah, have you ever been inside a bank? You see, like, 20 computers. They're all on.
Lights everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they gotta leave the lights on all day and night because theft.
Yeah, so there's no shortage. And the things you're not seeing with the banks, Bonnie, are the back end
processing centers. I mean, there's all kinds of places where they just move checks through, and you know, there's office buildings that customers aren't allowed in. But there's all kinds of bureaucracy in there.
It's also kind of humorous because it actually is more efficient the more people use it, right?
You talking about Bitcoin?
Yeah, crypto. Well, crypto in general. Actually, it's kind of humorous because Bitcoin is not as efficient in some respects as, or doesn't scale as well as other cryptocurrencies, mm-hmm. which is also kind of, if they were talking about, obviously they're talking about crypto and not just Bitcoin, but if they're talking about Bitcoin specifically, maybe there'd be some argument to it only because they've kind of refused to allow it to scale, and implement, you know, the technological, you know, fixes to increase its ability to scale. But
I don't think that'll change the
crypto in general.
If you doubled the, I mean, without getting too technical here,
sure.
The scaling with Bitcoin is a problem with a data factor. It's a block size. So block size right now is 1 megabyte.
Right.
There were proposals to double it and to quadruple it, and those never went through. And that's what's that's the bottleneck. If you were to double from 1 megabyte to 2 megabytes, you would double the throughput as far as the Bitcoin is concerned, but that doesn't change the mining factor. The miners still have to keep cranking away no matter what the block size is. So that wouldn't have an effect on the quote-unquote power, you know, consumption of Bitcoin.
No, it doesn't, but it would reduce from a transaction perspective how much energy was, I mean, because it can't, because effectively what you'd be arguing is it can't scale, and because it can't scale, then you have a limitation on, like, how efficient it can be. So you'd only ever be able to do 4 transactions a second or whatever, right? But it needs, in order to be sufficiently efficient, it has to scale to millions.
I get
millions,
what you're
you know
saying.
What I'm saying.
You're saying
so
that
if we scaled Bitcoin to, say, MasterCard would be more efficient than
Bitcoin. You're saying the cost per transaction would go down.
Yeah, that's exactly the problem. But if you increase the block size, then it becomes a sort of more efficient kind of, and thus more transactions, and thus
See what you're saying there. But as far as the actual power usage, it would not affect it. So it would be more efficient from the cost per transaction, showing people a different number.
Right, and this is why I'm saying that, like, you're actually damaging the environment by not accepting Bitcoins, in a sense, because it means there's fewer people using it, and fewer people using it increased the the kind of the costs.
I'm just not going to accept the idea that you're damaging the environment at all.
Again, let's just assume for the sake of argument that they're right and it damages the environment. If we're comparing, you know, the traditional banking system to the crypto system in terms of, you know, quote unquote environmental damage. Mm-hmm. You know,
the traditional banking system is a multiple factor. Like, they are, I forget, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I can pull it up. It's a lot more.
Oh,
it
yeah.
costs a lot more in electricity to run the traditional banking system. So, you know, the idea,
and
of course,
the other thing is the military industrial complex is the most damaging entity in the world. The U.S. one alone is the most damaging entity in the world to the environment.
That's true.
And using dollars does nothing but fund the military-industrial complex.
Yep, that's true.
This does bring up a really interesting point too. In that, what do you actually include in that number in terms of, like, the cost of dollars? Right, these dollars is effectively dependent on government. Right, whereas in cryptocurrencies, they're not dependent on government. The government can go away, and cryptocurrencies still exist. Right, mm-hmm. If the government goes away, dollars no longer. There's not going to be more dollars, right?
That's great.
So
we will continue here, and it is worth having this discussion because it's one of the common objections that you hear from people who are completely uninformed about cryptocurrency. They've heard that it hurts the environment,
yes,
and it's just absolutely ridiculous. We'll continue here. The number is 603-283-6160, but Mozilla Firefox has bought into it and has reversed their position after years of accepting crypto, and they're saying they're done with it.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The three men convicted of killing Ahmed Aubrey in Georgia got life in prison. Two of the three, Gregory McMichael and Travis McMichael, got life without parole, and the third, Roddy Bryant, got life with a possibility of parole. Georgia District Attorney Flynn Brody reacting outside the courthouse following the sentencing.
For a young African-American male, this day means quite a bit because it tells me that America can meet its promise, that there is liberty and justice for all here.
President Biden is in Colorado surveying fire damage in Boulder County. About 1,000 homes were destroyed and tens of thousands of residents were forced to flee due to the wildfire. Two people are still missing from the fires. You're listening to USA Radio News. Millions of people on the East Coast are dealing with the first bomb cyclone of the year. Snow is falling in states including Massachusetts. New Jersey is under a state of emergency as it expects at least 6 inches of snow on Friday. Much of the same area received snowfall earlier this week, and many travelers were stranded on Interstate 95 in Virginia. Cindy Poitier, a legendary actor, has died at the age of 94.
Sidney Poitier made history as the first black man to win the Oscar for Best Actor for 1964's Lilies of the Field. The Bahamian Minister of Foreign Affairs confirming the actor's death on Thursday night. Poitier starred in The Defiant Ones, which earned him his first Oscar nomination, A Patch of Blue in the Heat of the Night, and A Trailblazer in Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. He was born in Miami and split time growing up in the Bahamas and the United States. Sidney Poitier was 94. From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm Val Dior.
This is USA Radio News.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything you want here. The number 603-283-6160. We started out talking about the Mozilla Foundation. I don't know if you call them a company. I guess they are a company, right? Like they've got a CEO.
Yeah, actually, there's a corporate. There's two parts of the Mozilla. One's nonprofit, one's a corporate entity. And I believe the corporate entity is owned by the nonprofit.
One of those kind of shell game things with corporations.
Yeah.
So they make this browser. A lot of people know about it. It's called Firefox, and they've been accepting cryptocurrency donations for years, apparently, according to the folks over at Amazon Police, I think it is. I don't know where it is. Not Amazon Police, AndroidPolice.com. But they started taking it as far back as 2014, and they just recently just reminded people on their social media on December 31st that, hey, we're taking Dogecoin. We're taking Bitcoin, Ethereum. Here's our link. You can donate to us. And then 1 week later, they say, quote, starting today, we're reviewing if and how our current policy on crypto donations fits with our climate goals. And as we conduct our review, we will pause the ability to donate cryptocurrency. So there were enough people who flipped out online over them just simply pointing out that they take cryptocurrency. And they went ahead and they reversed course and have stopped the ability for people who support them, which I don't think you should support them. There is another reason, in case you needed more than one reason. You can use their browser, but I don't recommend giving money to these people. They've completely politicized themselves, And clearly, it's to them, the climate is so important. And look, the reality of it is, it's BS.
The climate is important. It's just BS to say that using cryptocurrency hurts the climate. You shouldn't give in to their dumb argument that's false, patently false.
Yeah. No, I'm not giving in at all.
And this is something we were talking about off air here, is that it costs more to produce certain coins in the United States than the coins are worth themselves.
You mean the government money.
Government's own money, yeah. Right? So yeah. Like this idea...
for a penny or whatever.
Right, exactly. This idea that like, okay, so it doesn't cost more to produce than it's worth, right? In the case of cryptocurrencies, so...
If it were... Then people would not do it.
Yeah, right.
Like it has to be worth doing in order for people to mine cryptocurrency.
It only is profitable to mine cryptocurrency if it's worth more than the cost of actually mining it.
Correct. So. The electricity, the equipment, the rent, or whatever you got to do.
In instances where it costs more after a certain period of time, it becomes easier to mine to reduce the cost, therefore, continuing the mining of the crypto.
Right. That's another important point to bring up, is that mining cryptocurrency accelerates the development of efficient, production of this thing, right? So, like, people who mine want to have the most efficiency. They want to take the minimum amount of power and get the maximum amount of results.
Right.
And so they're constantly demanding more efficient mining technology as far as the actual electronic devices that they're using, and they're looking for cheaper and cheaper sources of power. So the fact that the market is demanding these things means that people are going to do their best to discover and supply them.
Right. And some of the things to point out, too, is that some of the cheapest electricity is actually the most environmentally friendly, like hydropower.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain points of the day, for example, also, where it's less expensive to mine.
Sure.
And that's usually when the people aren't using the power that's being generated. So it's what you call waste energy. It would be produced, but it wouldn't be used anyway. So it's actually now being used to produce something that actually is worth something think about it, if you have to go back to bartering, right? Because that's effectively the alternative, right? It would cause all sorts of, costs, environmental costs, right?
Sure.
So it actually has a positive environmental effect, not this negative environmental effect that they're claiming.
Well, meanwhile, like you were saying, the government is switching on the lights and switching on a bunch of machines to create a penny that's costs $0.03 to make.
Right. I don't need to go to my bank to send a wire transfer if I can, use crypto to do it, right? And that's the crazy thing. It's like, you would think that in this age, you wouldn't need to go into your bank to do a wire transfer.
A lot of them require it.
But most people who go into who want to do a wire transfer have to go into the bank to do it, because unless their account is set up in a specific way and you pay a certain amount of money every month, you got to go into the bank to do the wire transfer.
It's a huge pain in the butt.
Yeah, and that has a cost associated. It's a human cost associated with it.
Because a heated building or air conditioned
building. Pay somebody to do it. And all of this stuff. And it's not even just your bank. It actually has to go to what's called the Fed. So there's another party involved. I mean, it's extraordinarily expensive to do a wire transfer. I've seen it cost as much as $120 to do a wire transfer.
Yep. International
wire transfer. It doesn't... The funny thing about that is, in the one particular case I'm thinking of, the goods that were being purchased were like maybe $200 or less.
Oh,
like, it almost cost more for the wire transfer.
50% of the cost.
Yes. And this wasn't from like a third world country. This was from like Sweden or somewhere like that. It costs a lot of money, the banking system.
The best you can do when it comes to the banking system and the energy usage of the banking system is to, estimate it. How would you possibly get that data, right? Like, a lot of that stuff is proprietary information of the banks. They're not going to tell you how many rooms they have and how many light bulbs they have and how many computers they have. And
you can get some estimates, though, based on, like, how many branches a bank has and then look at the top, 100 biggest banks.
And I suspect that's what they did.
Yeah.
In this case, they is a company called Galaxy Digital that released a report last year, so numbers are fairly recent. This story coming from Cointelegraph.com. That the banking industry consumes over 260 terawatt hours per year in power. The banking industry, which includes ATMs, card networks, bank branches, bank data centers at the top 100 banks. This is a low number, right? Like, this is a conservative estimate as far as what the banking industry uses. By comparison, you want to take a guess at Bitcoin?
I just don't know what terawatt hours. I mean, what is it?
Terawatt hours.
I think comparing it this way is kind of confusing because the banking system is so much larger than Bitcoin is right now, but or cryptocurrencies in general. But at the same time, if you look at it like on a per transaction cost basis, certainly cryptocurrencies is way lower than sending a wire transfer or just the cost of using.
But the average person arguing that Bitcoin is bad for the environment doesn't even realize what you're saying, that Bitcoin is also a smaller thing in general than the banking industry.
That's true.
So they just think, oh, it's just that I heard somebody say that. Elon Musk said that it was...
It's a big number. That's all they hear. It's like, yeah, except that relative to, like, per cost transaction. And just to be clear, the cost of the transaction has a connection to the environmental impact, which has been shown. So when it costs less to do the transaction with cryptocurrency over, say, swiping a credit card, you can see very clearly that it's more environmentally friendly, more environmentally friendly than the banking, traditional banking system and currencies.
It's not just energy. You don't even have to drive a car to a bank to do this cryptocurrency transaction.
Like, there's so much that we're not even including in these numbers that Ian here is reading off. So
you guys don't want to take a guess at Bitcoin. You got 260 terawatt hours. A terawatt, by the way, I had to look it up, is 1 trillion watts.
Whoa.
So 260 trillion hours of power watts.
A year?
Of power per year.
For the banking industry?
Yeah.
Okay, what is Bitcoin? No, I'm not going to be able to make a good guess.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Did I say per year? Yes, that's correct. So Bitcoin is 113.89, so less than half of the power consumption of the banking industry.
And again, those numbers, I'm sure, are not taking into account all of the costs, right? Because obviously they're not taking into the cost of somebody having to drive to the bank to do a wire transfer.
Sure. Yeah. We want people driving their trucks to the bank to send
and a
wire.
Gasoline that costs.
Right.
Yeah, we want them doing that to send a wire transfer to Mozilla.
Yeah, they only took into consideration card networks, ATMs, bank branches, top 100 bank data centers. So that's all they took into consideration as far as the banking numbers are concerned. But you've got to hand it to the Bitcoin haters out there, the big banks, the governments of the world, for cooking this one up, right? Because it plays right into what so many people, younger people especially, who've been indoctrinated about climate fear. All their lives, all they did was they trotted this fake BS out, and they said, "Whoa, the environment, Bitcoin bad," and that's all that most people do, right? They just look at the headline and they say, "Oh, I was thinking about getting that Bitcoin, but looks like it's bad for the environment," and then they just write it off.
I wonder how much of that is bots, backing them up.
AI on the internet.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. We got more coming up here. The number 603-283-6160, and you can share your thoughts on Free Talk Live.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
It's a fact. The best time to prepare for bad times is during good times. When you know a big storm is coming, you prepare in advance. Same goes for our future. Things seem calm right now, so it's the perfect time to prepare for the next big crisis or disaster. That's why you should stock up on emergency food from MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's largest preparedness company, with millions of happy, well-prepared customers. Our food kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They're an insurance policy you can eat. When you need it, it'll be there. Shop dozens of food storage kits now at MyPatriotSupply.com. Our kits give you an abundance of food, totaling over 2,000 calories a day. Every family member in America needs one of these kits. So go to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Do it before the peanut butter hits the fan again. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
Need answers? Try our interactive tax assistant on irs.gov/ITA. Simply select your tax questions, provide your information, and it gives you answers. Also, check our help and resources page and try our online tax map. 5,000 tax topics from A to Z. Plus, you can access forms, publications, in a variety of formats.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. Phone's open if you want to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. And that's 603-283-6160. Joining you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And Bonnie.
And Chris. We're talking about a really dumb decision on the part of the folks behind the Firefox browser to, quote-unquote, pause accepting cryptocurrencies while they have a discussion about whether or not it's going to be effective or it's going to go counter to their environmental policies, their quote-unquote climate goals is the terminology that they have here. As though a browser should have any consideration whatsoever for climate. It's software. Like, what is that even? I mean, I get it, right? Like, as you pointed out, Bonnie, the climate's an important thing. Like, you know, we want to have nice water to drink, and I don't want to, like, burn to death or whatever. But at the same time, I don't believe the government is going to make the earth cleaner. I don't believe the government is going to clean up things.
A worse job than what the free market could do as far as incentives for people to do good.
Well, as you pointed out, the U.S. military is the number one polluter, more so than I believe some of the top corporate polluters combined out there. So you can't trust the state to do anything for the environment. Just look at the EPA polluting rivers and, you know, you name it. There's so many different examples of government completely like counter to their supposed statements.
Yeah, and one of the problems with these introducing other sorts of political ideas into your especially a nonprofit, I think, organization is that it actually undermines the very cause in which you are working for, whatever that cause may be, right? You should be able to have people who are Republican and Democrat and Libertarian all working on a web browser.
Yeah, if they can bring something to the table. Right. Which is to say programming knowledge and skill, then they should be welcome.
Right. And the problem with introducing other political ideologies or implementing certain political ideologies ends up being that you then undermine your ability to attract the best talent to, in this case, I guess it would be accept donations.
Well, it's also going to undermine talent because some people are going to see this and they're going to say, you know what, I don't want to associate with
this. Right.
So the other thing that I think is important to point out here, and I just touched on it right before we went to the break, but the other thing is, like, you've got to give credit to the Bitcoin haters for coming up with this attack against Bitcoin, which is, we've been pointing out over the last few segments, completely, you know, baseless, essentially. Look at the amount of power the banking industry, for instance, uses, way more than Bitcoin. And we also pointed out that Bitcoin, the fact that people need efficiency when it comes to mining, leads to more efficiency in the marketplace. It leads to cheaper forms of power. It leads to better, more efficient computing equipment to actually do the mining. Whereas, you know, you don't see banks getting more efficient and lean and mean or anything like that. And it doesn't matter because they are protected from competition by the government.
They can't because they're regulated. So they're prohibited from inventing or creating new technologies to solve some of these
problems.
They're
slow and they suck and everybody knows that.
Yeah.
And all they can do is put a rainbow flag outside their building during June.
Yeah. They have. If you think about it, the government has a monopoly on certain core parts of the banking system. Wire transfers, they go to
every ACH transfer, every bank to bank transfer, all of them go through the federal government.
Western Union, is that government?
No, that's a private company, but they still use the dollar. So
yeah, I mean, they're still using that same system, I think, basically, more or less. It might be
it's a regulated company.
Yeah, the way it works is maybe a little bit different. Like, they're not actually sending a wire transfer in order to move money from...
No, they have an internal system, something of their own.
Yeah, they might use... Western Union might, they might do one wire transfer for, like, $1 million or something like that, whereas... So like, they're just balancing accounts, but it's, like...
Their own accounts,
in different countries. So,
regions.
Yeah, they're still probably dependent on the government system, even though the individual transaction you're sending is not necessarily going through the government.
So what is the federal system that they use for wire transfers that you were referring to?
It's called FedWire. Huh. It's the Federal Reserve, basically. Everything goes through them. But the thing I wanted to expand on was how brilliant of an attack this is against Bitcoin. It's baseless. And anybody that actually digs into it can learn about the reasons, as we've touched on some of them here tonight, as far as why it's baseless. But we know that most people don't dig. We know they just hear a headline, something gets passed around on social media, and they make up their mind. And this is interesting because when I think about a way to pitch cryptocurrency to a leftist, which is something that we do to some extent here in New Hampshire, in Keene, New Hampshire, is more of a lefty town. And so whenever I'm pitching cryptocurrency to, you know, local business owners or just the average person here, I like to talk about how cryptocurrency empowers communities and the individual, right? And because leftists could understand that big banks are bad. I think they can understand that. Because a lot of leftists are against corporations, right? They don't realize that the government is corporations, so, like, that's another talking point. But just generally, they're against corporations as a whole, right? Especially the big ones. And so you can point out that this actually, you know, the whole idea of decentralizing money, decentralizing a way for people to store their value instead of relying on these mega corporations is a very kind of a, you know, that can appeal to a leftist on its, just on the surface. Like, this helps you. This helps the little guy, right? People on the left are all about helping the downtrodden, helping the little guy. And the banking system, they know, or at least they should know, is about cutting out the little guy, right? Like, the banking system, there's a bunch of people in the United States that are unbanked. That they don't want, the banking system doesn't want to deal with them. Maybe they, you know, maybe they bounced a check or something like that, or they got mad and they left a bank with a negative balance, and now they can't open a bank account anywhere else until they settle up. Whatever. There's all kinds of stories that people have with their.
My ex, who was an illegal immigrant, he couldn't get a credit card or anything like that. But you can, you know, get services like that online with cryptocurrency without having to show your green card.
So he's unbanked. And there's a lot of people, especially internationally, like that, who are in situations more so in other countries.
There's a lot of situations, too, like with Bank of America. There was a story. Actually, my partner was affected by this. He actually had a bank account, I believe, that was they charged him for something they shouldn't have charged him for, basically.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, and I think it brought his balance down below whatever the threshold was.
So now he gets another charge.
So he gets another charge, and they rack up a bunch of these charges. This was a long time ago, but the point is, it was like he went in and he complained or whatever, and, like, they didn't fix it.
Oh, wow.
And so he's like, well, close my account. And then they won't close your account because you have a negative balance. And it's like, okay, well, I don't owe that because it wasn't right. Anyway. So he could have been potentially affected by, you know, nobody else would potentially bank with him.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what ended up happening, but there was also a major lawsuit that resulted. Mm. And so they may have had to remove people's names from lists and things like that.
Gotcha.
And I think it was a while before he actually had another bank account anyway. I don't know, you know, but anyway, the point is, yeah, there's a lot of people who have, through no fault of their own, you know, are in a situation where
they're unbanked.
They can't use a bank account. They can't get a bank account.
Right.
And speaking of Western Union, there was that story that people have been sending millions of dollars back and forth from, I think it was El Salvador, now that instead of having to wire money or use Western Union to get money to their relatives.
Yes. Those are called remittances when you send money through like Western Union or MoneyGram from one country to a person in another country. That's generally considered a remittance. And it's a multi-billion-dollar, like, I don't know, hundreds of billions or whatever, maybe even trillion. There's a lot of money in remittances. And
getting cheaper and easier for people to do.
Crypto makes it
possible.
Because
of crypto.
Makes it possible to transfer value across borders without having to ask anyone's permission. Without any crazy fees, without having to show somebody identification. All of those things are done. All you got to have is the person's address, and boom, you send it, and it's there within moments. So this is something that the leftists should appreciate, and they should understand, which is why it was a brilliant move for the people who hate Bitcoin to say, oh, but the environment.
Oh, yeah.
And then that just takes it off the table for all the leftists who otherwise would have seen the value in it. It's really sad.
It's unfortunate, but I feel like the government is manipulating people on the left into, you know, being anti-crypto, anti-Bitcoin.
Yeah, I saw an article that was saying crypto hurts minorities.
What? What are That's they talking ridiculous. About? That, you know what's funny is my partner, before he had a bank account, one of the ways he would pay for things online was using cryptocurrency.
Hmm.
That's insane. And there's plenty of people, you know, from all over the world that use cryptocurrency.
Right.
The idea that
they're saying a bunch
of
white people got rich in the early days of cryptocurrency. I'm sure lots of people who weren't white got rich in the early days.
So basically, they just hate anybody with money.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to.
I just want you to believe that there is not one black person that's benefited. Only white people have benefited from cryptocurrency.
A simple internet search will reveal that is false.
Is that supposed to be like? I mean, I don't even get that argument. It's so crazy because it's like, so just because wealthy people or white, only white people did this, is somehow it's bad? Like,
I mean, obviously the opportunity is still there for minorities, even if it was true that only white people got rich in the beginning.
The crypto
but it's not true.
Is down right now. If you're a black person, you can still get in now. Yep. I mean, and it's not like it's going. This is one of the best times to get in here as of late. So
we're coming up here. The number is 603-283-6160. You can take control of the airwaves here on Free Talk.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.